Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sota Davav. We left off on the top of Davav Amar Aleph, V'ika Da'amri Amar Rav Yosef, on the top line. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and Le'ila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, Aleha Shalom. It is also sponsored by David and Debbie Adelson, Le'ila Nishmas, David's grandfather, Shmuel Yecheskel ben Moshe, Aleha Shalom, whose yahrzeit is today, the Nesham Shav Nalia. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is the following. First, we're going to have the third version of what Rav Yosef says as to why it is that a sota does chalitza but does not do yibum. And then the Gemara is going to go into Rava's explanation as to why a sota can't do yibum. Rava's going to have an interesting svara called that in Nes Rabba Mutula ba'asula lo kol shekein, that if she even became asur to Mutula, meaning to her husband, then asula, the brother-in-law who would normally be an isurter, for sure she's going to be asura too. And the Gemara is going to have two challenges to Rava's svara as to why it is that she cannot do yibum with the brother-in-law. That's going to bring us all the way to the Mishnah. The Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to give us five quick cases where the woman remains asura forever, where the mesota is not going to resolve her issue, and she's going to remain asura labayla. If she's an eshes kohen, she's going to remain asura to eat truma. Then the Gemara is going to introduce the chiddush of Rav Sheshes, and that's what the rest of the daf is going to be about. Right at the beginning of the Gemara, in the middle of Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to introduce the chiddush of Rav Sheshes, which is that if Edom exist anywhere on the planet that know about this woman's behavior, that know about what she did, that know about her tumah, then the mesota does not work. Even if those Edom are not known to us, these Edom are not here, if Edom exists anywhere on the planet that know about her tumah, then the mayim will not be bodek the woman. So the Gemara is going to try to show how Rav Sheshes has a raya from our Mishnah. We're going to reject that raya from our Mishnah. The Gemara is going to have two challenges to Rav Sheshes from different prices, and the Gemara is going to have one answer to the first challenge, two answers to the second challenge against Rav Sheshes. Then the Gemara is going to bring a brisa that actually supports Rav Sheshes. That's a raya to Rav Sheshes, except it has a different pasuk than Rav Sheshes used to learn that din. So at the end, the Gemara is going to say, yeah, Rav Sheshes is correct, la halacha, but how he got there is incorrect. There's going to be a brisa that has a different pasuk that derives that same din. So let's begin again. We are at the top line of Dav Vav Amud Aleph. We're going through all of the different versions of what Rav Yosef said to explain why it is that a sota does chalitza but cannot do yibum. V'yikadamriyam Rav Yosef, hakasav kra'o acher. The pasuk calls this the someone who marries such a woman who was mizana an acher she'ein ben zugo shel rishon, because we say about this fellow, anyone who's going to marry such a woman is not like the first husband. Shezeh hotzi rishon mibeso, the first husband found evil in his house and removed it from his home. Anyone who chooses to remarry this woman is finding evil and bringing it into his home. So that's what we say about anyone who's willing to marry such a woman. And now you think you're going to make it a mitzvah for the brother to do such a thing, for the brother to marry such a woman? It can't be that there's a mitzvah of yibum, because the Torah makes a big deal about the fact that anybody who marries her is an acher, he's an other, because he's someone who's willing to bring risha l'toch peso. It can't be that there's a mitzvah. So it says Gemara Abaye El Meata, yeah, but if that's the case, that anyone who marries her is called an acher because he's bringing risha l'toch peso, then Nisei Slacher, then what if she gets remarried after she divorces the first husband, who mays below banim, and when she gets remarried, that husband dies without any children? Then Lotus Yabim, even in that case, there should not be a mitzvah of yibum. After all, that kasav kra'o acher, meaning if the whole svara is that we can't make it a mitzvah to marry this woman since she has proven to be evil, then there should never be a mitzvah of yibum on this woman for any marriage that she ever has, not just from this marriage where she was suspected of being mizana, but if she later gets married to somebody else and that guy dies without any children, there should not be a mitzvah yibum there either. Because why should that guy's brother be machnis rishol l'toch peso? So answers the Gemara, no. Gabei dahai miya b'shem tov havakaima. No, but as far as the second husband is concerned, she had a shem tov, so we assume she did tshuva. That as far as the first marriage was concerned, she obviously didn't do tshuva. She cheated on her husband, or at least was suspected of cheating on her husband. But But if she then gets remarried to somebody else and no one hears anything negative about the way she behaves while she's married to somebody else, and then that somebody else dies, yeah, so then that brother could do Yibum, and he's not considered to be an Acher in doing Yibum. He's not considered to be Machnes Risha L'toch Beso. So we could have a mitzvah for such a person to do Yibum. Okay, those are all three versions of Rav Yosef's understanding. Now says Gemara, Rava Amar, Rava says, I'll tell you why Yisota doesn't do Yibum, because Kal V'chomer, it's a simple Kal V'chomer. Im Nesra B'Mutrula, if a woman becomes a Sota, she becomes a Sura to the man who is normally Mutter to her, meaning her husband. So Ba'asla Lo Kalshkein, the man who is normally a Sura to her, meaning her brother-in-law, it's one of the Arayos, you're not allowed to marry your brother-in-law, so the we have this exception called Yibam, but the man who's normally usher to her, the brother-in-law, for sure is going to be usher to her by virtue of the fact that she's a Sota. Because after all, the Yibum is only coming on account of that first marriage. And since the fact that she did Stira ruined that first marriage, made her Aser to that first husband, you can't carry over the heter that she has with the first husband to his brother, because there is no heter anymore. So if she even became Asura B'Mutala, then for sure she becomes Aser to Asurva. So says Gemara, really? Is that a Svara? Where else can we apply that Svara? And let's see if it holds up. So the Gemara is going to have two challenges. Challenge number one, Amalei Abaye Elameata, if we really say such a Kal V'chomer, such a Svara, that anytime she became Asr to Mutrla, she for sure becomes Asr to Asrla, then Kohen Gadol, Shekidish to Almana, if you have a Kohen Gadol that was Mekadesh, an Almana, that which is Asr, Kohen Gadol's not allowed to marry an Almana, Umeis, and he dies without children, V'yeshlo Ach Kohen Hedyot, and he has a brother who is not a Kohen Gadol, but is a Kohen, he's a regular Kohen, who's allowed to marry an Almana, Lotus Yavim, then we should say that there should be no Yibum in such a case. Because after all, Im Nesra B'Mutula, if she was even Asura to the person who she's normally Mutaris to, namely her husband, because it was an Alman al-Kohen Gadol situation, then Ba'asula, then the Yavam, the husband's brother, who she would normally be Asur to, Lo Kalshkein, she should for sure be Asur to do Yibum. And yet that's not true. She does Yibum on a Kohen, with a Kohen Hedyot, if her husband was a Kohen Gadol. So says Gemara, Nesra, wait, no, that almana was never muteris to the Kohen Gadol, who and then became asura ha'asira v'kaima. She was asura the whole time. I mean, this svara that Rav is saying that im nesra b'mutala, if she even became asura to one who was mutter, not true. That doesn't apply to an almana Kohen Gadol. She wasn't nesra. She was never mutter. Nesra implies that there was a change. She was never mutter ha'asira v'kaima. And what nesra b'mutala? The svara Rav said that if she became Asr to the one who was previously Mutter to her, namely her husband. So, Mutala Asalahu. It's an Amal Kohen Gadol. He was never Mutter to her. It was always Asr. He was always Asr to her. So that's not a good challenge to Rava, because that's not an equivalent case. An Amal Kohen Gadol, it's not a new Isser that was generated by anything that happened in between. That marriage was always treif. Okay, so I'll give you a marriage that wasn't always treif. A marriage that started out kosher, and then something happened and made that marriage not viable anymore. And let's see if we could apply this same svara, that if she became asura to the husband who was previously mutter to her, then she should for sure not be able to do Yibum. So, Eishes Kohen, Shenensa. What happens if you have an Eishes Kohen who is Netensa, meaning when there's an Ones, when there's a Rachman al-Tzlan, someone is Ma'anes, an Eishes Kohen, she's not allowed to go back to her husband. So the marriage is perfect, the marriage is fine, that perfect Shalom Bayis, everything was great, and they were totally halachically mutter, and then Nebuch, she was attacked one day, she was Netensa. So the halacha is, for whatever reason, the halacha is, the Torah says, that she becomes Asura to her Kohen husband. Umeis, what if that Kohen husband then dies and he doesn't have any children? V'yeshlo a chalal, and he has a brother who's not a Kohen. He has a brother who's a chalal. How does he have a brother who's not a Kohen if he's a Kohen? Well, his father married a normal woman and had him as a child, and then his father married another woman who was a grusha and had the brother. So it's a brother who's a chalal. He's not a Kohen, but it's a brother min ha'av. They share the same father, and therefore it is a Yibum situation. So Lotus Yabe, maybe we should say based on Rava svara that we should not allow yibum, because after all, im nesra b'mutrula, if by virtue of the fact that she was raped, she becomes asura even to her husband, who was normally mutarister, so basala l'kol shkein, then to the yavam, who she would normally be asur to, she for sure should be asur to, and the mitzvah of yibum should not be chal. But we know that that's not true, that the mitzvah of yibum is in fact chal. So says Gemara, onus be Yisrael, mishra shari, v'gabi dahai leki yisura. Now, by a case of onus, it's different, because onus for Yisrael, for a non-Kohen, like a chalal, is simply not an issue. It's not a problem at all. And therefore, there's no, if she was, had she been married to the chalal brother when she was Nansa, nothing would have happened. It would not have asked her at all. So the fact that she was Nansa while she was married to the Kohen brother is not going to asser her to the Yavam. As opposed to a case that we're talking about where she became a Sota with the deceased brother. So had she become a Sota with the surviving brother, with the Yavam, would have assered her on him as well. So that's an Issa that he's Shayach to. So that's where Rava says such a Svara, that in order to apply Rava's Svara, that in Nesra, B'mutula, Ba'asul, Olokolshkein, it has to be a case where something happened and it changed and an Issa was created. So that was the first, the answer to the first challenge to Rava. And it has to be a case where the Isser is relevant to what happened, would have been relevant to either brother had it happened under their watch, had it happened while, during their marriage to this woman. Okay, so now we move on to the next Mishnah. So the previous Mishnah told us that an Eshes Kohen, whose husband was Mekanila Benistra, is not allowed to eat Truma until she drinks the Mayim Amar, meaning she's not only Asura Labaila, if she's married to a Kohen, Safik Sota is not allowed to eat Truma. So our Mishnah is going to say Ve'elu Asuros Lechol B'Truma. The following people are never going to be allowed to eat Truma, meaning in the previous Mishnah we spoke about she's not allowed to eat Truma until she drinks the Me'amarim. Once she drinks the Me'amarim, so she's vindicated, now she's going to be allowed to eat Truma again. Now we're going to talk about a case, five cases, where the woman will never be allowed to eat Truma. So the Dvar Shaul points out, not only never be allowed to eat Truma, she's also never going to be Mutaris Labayla. The Mishnah just mentions Truma as something that she's never going to be allowed to do, because that was the last halacha we mentioned in the first Mishnah. But the point is, there's no resolution to her suffix. Normally we have a woman who had Kinoi and Stira, but we don't know, did she sleep with him, did she not? So we have a resolution by drinking Mesota. In these cases, we're going to give five cases where she just can't do it. She just can't drink Mesota. She can't drink the Mesota, she's going to remain Asura to the husband. She's going to remain Asura to have Truma. Mishal Melech raises the question that since she had Stira, she becomes Asura to have Truma, and all these cases are just going to be cases of that she just can't drink the Mesota. So isn't it obvious that she's going to remain Asura? Meaning if the only way out is by drinking Mesota, and I have a bunch of cases where she can't drink Mesota, so she remains in her status quo, and she's going to remain Asura. What's the chiddush in any of the cases that we're going to bring in the Mishnah? So he says that our Mishnah must be mechadesh, that even if she were to drink the Mesota, that it doesn't work. That must be the chiddush of the Mishnah. Not only that we wouldn't do it, but let's say they made a mistake and they gave her the Mesota. It wouldn't even be effective. It wouldn't make any, allow her it wouldn't be matir the Yisra at all. So what are these five cases? Number one, ha'omeres tamea anilcha. If she's moda, that she was nivellus to someone else, and that she is in fact asura to the husband. The Rishonim point out, Tosus and the Shitukvets and others, that the Mishnah must be talking about after Kinoi and Stira. And that's why she's menaced to say, Tamea Nilach, because there's Raglayim Ladavar, that she's telling the truth. But the Mishnah at the very end of Masechta Nedarim says that if a woman just walks in to her husband one day and says, oh, by the way, Tamea Nilach, and there was no indication of any of that prior to that statement, she's not menaced. We assume, Shemei Ne'enosah Ba'achar, she was looking for an easy way out of the marriage, and by saying Tamei Anilach, it would be the easiest way for her to get out of the marriage. So she doesn't have Ne'amanus. But once there's been a Kinoi and a Stira, then she has Ne'amanus. That's what all the Rishonim point out. Mishnah Melech raises the question that a woman who has Stira after Kinoi, she's not allowed to eat Truma even if she doesn't say Tamei Ani. And that's Mefurish in the Mishnah Daf Beis. So he says that the Mishnah must be talking about that after the woman drank the Mesota and nothing happened to her, she's still nemenis to say that she was nitmes, because there's still raglayim ledavar, because there was a kinoi and a stira. Whoa! So what happened? She had a kinoi. According to the Mishnah Melech, the case in our Mishnah is she had a kinoi, she had a stira, she drank the mesota, nothing happened, seems to be vindicated, and then she says, don't know why that didn't work, because I was tamei, I was expecting to die today. So then she's menes that she actually cheated on him. Why didn't the mayim work? Maybe zuchus talala. Maybe she had some sort of zuchus. We're going to learn later that if you have a zuchus, like Talmud Torah or something like that, that will be talala. That will make it that the mesota won't work. So a lot of the Acharim disagree with the Mishnah Melech, and they say, no. If she drank the mesota and nothing happened, she's not going to be menes anymore to say that she's tamei. It's not mistaver to be talala with a chashash rachok that maybe she has some sort of extraordinary zechus that the mayim didn't work. They also point out that even if you have to be choshish that lo batkua mayim, it's still not raglayim ledavar, meaning the whole svara to give her neamanus is that raglayim ledavar, a woman who's had a kinui and has had a stira, it's raglayim ledavar that she was tameya. But once the water didn't work, you're not going to call it raglayim ledavar that she's guilty. There is a way that she could still be guilty and the water won't work, that she had some sort of zechus. But that's not raglayim ledavar. So that's why most reject that Mishnah Lamelech. So let's go simple pshat in the Mishnah. Simple pshat in the Mishnah is a woman after a kinoy or stira walks into Beis and says, Tamei anilach. That's it. Nothing we could do. We can't give her the mesota. Or shabo'u edim shi tamea. Not that she admitted, but that edim showed up and said that she's tamea. And the Gemara is going to explain that it's talking about the edim came after she was chosen to the mayim. Because otherwise it's obvious that once there are edim that are mayim that she's tamea, of course she's going to be asura. So the Gemara is going to say the chiddush is that edim came that said that she's tamea after the mesota. That's what the Mishnah Melech wanted to extend that to the previous case as well, but that's really only true over here, according to most Achron. Vol Meris, Eini Shosa. Third case is a woman says, I don't want to drink the mamarim, I refuse. A fourth case, Shabaila Eini Rotzal Ashkosa. The husband says, I don't want to put my wife through that. I do not want, it's too gruesome. I don't want her to drink the mesota. And finally, Shabaila Baal Baderech. If the husband slept with her on their way to the Beis HaMikdash to give her the Mesota, so then we're not mashker the Mesota, the Mayim is not going to be Bodek if he had been with her Baderech. We're going to see that later on in the Gemara and Daf Chav Ches that we learn from the Pasuk. Pasuk says V'nika he'ish me'avon, only if the ish is menuka me'avon is the Mayim Bodkim as ishto, and he's not allowed to be with his wife while she's a Safik Sota. So if he slept with her on the way there, then he's not menuka, he's not considered menuka me'avon. That which we say Bala Baderech is because that would be the more normal case, but it's even if he's Ba'ala B'makom Acher, the Meiri points out, as long as it was after Kino Estira, the Mayim is not going to be Bodek as Ishto. Okay, so now, says the Gemara, here's the Chiddush of the day, Amr Rav Amram Hamilsa Amr Lan Rav Sheshes taught a Chiddush, V'anr Lan Einen Mimas Nisin, and it seems that our eyes were lit up from our Mishnah, that our Mishnah is going to be the greatest Raya to the following Chiddush. Sota Yeshla Edim b'Medina Sayam. If there were Edim that saw that the Sota was Mezana after there was a kinoy that the husband made, and even if those Edim are b'Medina Sayam, Eina Mayim Botkinasa. The Mayim is not going to work. The Mayamarim will not work if there are Edim that exist anywhere on this planet. My time, how do I know that's true? Where do you see in the pasuk that the mayim is not going to be bodek just because there's edim somewhere? Da amar kra, because the pasuk says v'nistra v'hi nitma'a v'ed ein ba, that if she had yichud and she cheated on her husband and ed ein ba, there is no edus to it, then you bring her to the kohen and you do the whole drinking of the mesota. So if sheshes is medayik from the phrase v'ed ein ba, Deleka de yadaba, that there's no aid anywhere that knows about it. La fukeha da'ika de yadaba, as opposed to a case where there are aidim in Medina Siam, where there's somebody that knows about it. And as long as there's somebody that knows about it, the mayim is not going to be bodek the woman. Va'anr lan einin mimas nisin. So what's the raya from our Mishnah? De katani, because it says in our Mishnah, vishabo'ula aidim shi tameya, that if aidim came and say that she's tameya, then she does not eat truma, then she's not allowed to be with her husband. She's asura forever if Edim came and said she's Tamea. Well, wait a second. Dasu Edim Emas. Meaning one of the five cases in our Mishnah where her issue is never resolved is if Edim said that she's Tamea. But when did these Edim come to say that she's Tamea? Inem Mekami Ditishti, if we're going to say that these Edim came before she drank the Mesota, so Zonahi. So it's Pasha that she's not going to eat Truma. She's a Zona. You have Edos that she's a Zona. So obviously she's not going to drink the Mesota and she'll remain asura forever. The
Mishnah wouldn't be teaching me any chiddush. El lebasar d'shasai. No, the case must be that the edim came after she drank the meisota. So what happened in this case? A woman had a kinoi, a stira. They went through the whole process. The husband gave her the meisota. Nothing happened to her. She did not implode. She survived the meisota. And then edim came and said that she was taka mizana. So now she's asura to go back to the husband. She's asura to eat truma. Well, iam bishlama. We're going to have to explain why didn't she blow up, right? Why didn't she implode? Why did the meisota not work? Meaning, if there were edim that she was mizana, and it's true that she was mizana, so what happened over here? So iam bishlama inamayim botmos hashapir. So if Rav Shesh says his sod is correct, that whenever there are edim anywhere, then the mayim just doesn't work. Oh, I understand why the mayim didn't work. Edim just showed up, and now I understand that the mayim didn't work, but she's guilty of sin. But if you say that the mayim will be bodekar as long as, even though edim exists somewhere else, well then then shouldn't the fact that the mayim didn't do anything to her be a raya that these edim are liars? So this is a raya to Rav Sheshes, that it must be that the mayim doesn't work. I mean, we have this trouble. How do we reconcile these two facts? That number one, the mayim didn't do anything to her, the mayim vindicated her, and number two, there are edim that she's guilty. So either the mayim is right or the edim are right. So according to Rav Sheshes, the edim are right. The mayim doesn't do anything when there are edim, so the edim are right. But if you say not like Rav Sheshes, then you got to say the mayim is right. God is right, and these edim must be liars. So I'm like Rav Yosef says, no, there's another explanation of why the mayim didn't do anything to her. Really, I can tell you that even if there are edim in Medina Siyam, the mayim should be botkinosa. The mayim should work. But you know why it didn't work over here? Ha'emur zuchus tolala. Maybe she had some sort of extraordinary zuchus that was tolala for her. So Rav Yosef says, what do I do with the stira between the mayim and the edim? He says, yeah, I also trust the edim, but not because the mayim is not going to work on account of the fact that there exists edim, but because the mayim is not going to work for some other reason. There are other technicalities of why the mayim won't work. The mayim doesn't work when she has some sort of extraordinary zuchus. So they're both essentially saying that when you have this conflict between the mayim and the edim, the mayim is telling us that she was innocent, and the edim are telling us that she's guilty. Both Rav Sheshes and Rav Yosef are saying we believe the edim because the mayim was neutralized. The mayim didn't. The mayim was ineffective. Why is the mayim ineffective? So Rav Sheshes said because the edim existed. Rav Yosef says the mayim is ineffective because she must have had some sort of zchus. The mayim afkamina. Whether you say like Rav Sheshes or Rav Yosef, either way, you trust the edim and not the mayim. So Sfasema says nafkamina would be what if Eid Echad came to after she already drank the meisota and says she's guilty. So according to Rav Sheshes, who said that the mayim is not going to be bodek when there's any aid anywhere that knows that she's nitma, so who adin, if there's an aid echad that knows that she was nitma, the mayim is not going to be bodek, and he's going to be believed to say that she's tamei, and she's going to be asuriti truma, because we assume that that he's not contradicting a bedikas samayim. The mayim simply doesn't work. But according to Rav Yosef, that even if Edim know that she's nidma, the mayim will still be bodek. So even though when there are shnei Edim, we'll be told that the shnei Edim have to be telling the truth. It's the strongest level of raya that you have is shnei Edim. So we're going to have to come up with a way that why didn't the mayim work? We'll say zuchus tola. But an eid echad is not so strong. I don't have to believe an eid echad against the mayim. I'll believe the mayim over an eid echad. That might be the nafkamina. So says Mar b'maykam efki, what is the basis of the machlokas between Rav Sheshes and Rav Yosef? Even though we just said what the machlokas is, that Rav Sheshes learns from the Mishnah that if there are eidim siyam, the mayim is not bodek, and Rav Yosef disagrees and does not learn that from the Mishnah. The Gemara is really asking, it says b'maykam efki, it's asking on Rav Sheshes, how can you bring a raya from a Mishnah? Rav Yosef just gave you an alternative explanation of the halacha in our Mishnah. That our Mishnah said that if eidim come late, later, we believe the Edim and we ignore the fact that the Mayim was not Bodek. So Rav Sheshes says, ooh, that's a raya that the Mayim can never be Bodek as long as Edim exists. But Rav Yosef gave an alternative explanation. No, it's just a raya that the Mayim wasn't Bodek this time. Why? Probably because she had a zechus. So B'mai Kamifki is really asking, how does Rav Sheshes think that Itaka has a raya from our Mishnah? So it says, what they're really arguing about is what happens if the woman is guilty guilty, but for some technical reason, the mayim can't be bodek. Meaning, what happens if she was guilty, but she had zuchus tola? So does nothing happen? And does it look in the Beis HaMikdash when she drinks the water as if she was totally innocent? Does it look the same as it would for an innocent woman? Or does something happen? So Rabbi Yomer, zuchus tola, having a zuchus will prevent her from imploding b'mayim amarim, but ve'ini yoledes, ve'ini meshabachas, but all the brachos that a woman who's vindicated by the mayim amarim don't apply to her, will not happen to her. She's not going to notice improvements in her physical health. She's not going to start having babies. Elamis navna v'alechas. She's going to slowly deteriorate. It's just that instead of the deterioration happening rapidly on the spot, the deterioration will start to happen. She'll start to have a stomach ache, and she'll go home, and she'll be sick in bed for a while. I mean, it's going to happen. It's just going to happen more slowly. She's going to die the same way. It's just going to be much more slow, so it'll be a little less embarrassing. Rav Sheshes Savar Bein the Rebbe Bein the Rabbanon Havi Misnavna. Rav Sheshes holds that both Rebbe and the Rabbanon would agree. I mean, it's not only Rebbe's one that said it, but the Rabbanon would also agree that that must be what happens, that she starts to weaken. So in the case where Edom came and said that she was Tumeya, where we have to assume that our Mishnah was telling that she had already drank the Mesota, well, why didn't she start to deteriorate? If the only reason that the Mesota didn't destroy her was because she had Zuchus Tola, she should have started deteriorating. Oh, so that's what Rav Sheshes says. It must be that the reason the Mesota didn't destroy her is not because of Zuchus Tola. Why didn't it destroy her? Because Edom existed. So Rav Sheshes says, that's my raya from the Mishnah. The only explanation as to why she didn't even start deteriorating, if she was in fact guilty, is because when Edom exists, the Mesota doesn't do anything. It doesn't work at all. It doesn't work more slowly. Zuchus Tola, it works more slowly. If Edom exists, it doesn't work at all. The Mesota has no impact. Rav Yosef holds, L'Rebbe Havi Misnavna, L'Rabban Havi Misnavna. That idea that she starts to deteriorate is a chiddush of Rebbe. The other Tanaim don't accept that chiddush. So Rav Yosef will look at our Mishnah, and he'll say, yeah, in our Mishnah, she drank the Mesota, nothing happened. Edom came and told us that she was guilty. I could assume that probably the reason nothing happened from the Mesota was that she had some sort of zchus. Why didn't she start deteriorating, at least slowly? Because most Tanoim hold that's not what happens. She doesn't deteriorate slowly. That's just the Shita of Rebbe, who says we have to accept the Shita of Rebbe. So now the Gemara challenges Rav Sheshes' din. So again, Rav Sheshes' din is that if there are Edim anywhere that she's Tameya, then the Mesota is not going to work. So Rav Simi Barashi asks from the Hemshech of the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ein Zuchus Tola B'mayim Amarim. That Rabbi Shimon says Zuchus does not work for Mayim Amarim. V'mat Hamar Zuchus Tola B'mayim Amarim. Because if a Zuchus would be Tola for Mayim Amarim, Madcha Atas Amayim B'fnei Kol HaNash Mashosos. You're gonna weaken the strength of the ability of the Mayim to do anything for all women. Meaning no one's going to be afraid to drink the Mayim. No one's going to, you know, the threat of the Mayim is normally what causes the woman to admit to her wrongdoing, to admit to her sin. We don't want her to implode in the basement. We want her to admit so that she won't have to drink the mayim. But if she knows that zuchus tola, then she's never going to be motivated to admit that she was tamim. Mela, it's not going to prevent the mechikas hashem in the mayim, because she'll assume, you know, I've done mitzvos in my life. I've done a lot of chesed. You know, I'm sure I have some sort of zuchus that will be tola for me. That's how Rashi understands it. That's why it's going to lose its teeth, because she knows that she has mitzvos, that she has zuchuyos. Tosus understands that the nashim that are guilty and are not punished from the shtiyas me'amarim because they have a zuchus are going to be motzi laz on the me'amarim. That's the problem. Everyone's going to say, oh, the me'amarim doesn't work. This woman is guilty of sin. Everybody knows it. And the me'amarim didn't do anything for her. Well, why didn't it do anything for her? Because zuchus tola. But not everybody knows that. They're just going to see that the me'amarim didn't work. So anyway, v'atamotzi shemra ala tahoru sheshasu. And then you're going to be motzi shemra on the women who were actually vindicated by the me'amarim, because everyone's going to see it just doesn't work, and then guilty women are also, nothing's happening to them. The hain, and the women who are in the Azara at the time that the Sota drinks, Omrim, they're all going to say, Temeos Hayu, that all the innocent women were really guilty, El Shtalal and Zchus, they must have had a Zchus. V'imisa, but if you're going to tell me that whenever there are Edim in Medina Siyam to a woman's Tuma, the Mayim's not going to work anyway, so what does Rabbi Shimon benefit by saying, Zchus can't be Tola, because if Zchus is Tola, it's going to ruin the whole Me'amarim. The Me'amarim only works if it always works. And if there's ever a time it doesn't work, then everyone's going to be Motzi Laz on it. It's going to ruin the whole proceedings. But according to you, Rav Sheshes, it doesn't always work. You know, there are cases where there are Edim. So Yesh La Edim, B'medina Siyam Nami, Atamotzi Shem Ra La Torah Shashasu, Ve'inom Tumeyus HaYol Sheshesh, and Edim B'medina Siyam. When women are actually vindicated by the Me'amarim, you can have the same problem. People are going to say, all the other women are going to say, oh, she's probably guilty. She's probably, in fact, so guilty that there are even Edim to her guilt, and that's why the Me'amarim didn't work. So says the Rabbi Shimon Kamrit, wait, you're trying to explain how Rabbi Shimon would read our Mishnah? Rabbi Shimon midzchus lo talia edim nami lo talu. Enochinami. Rabbi Sheshes would say, I'm not talking within Rabbi Shimon. Enochinami. According to Rabbi Shimon, it has to be that it's ironclad, that the Meisota always works, because otherwise Rabbi Shimon doesn't trust the whole process. He thinks there can be multi-laws and all the Toros. Enochinami. My whole chiddush was not within Rabbi Shimon. My chiddush was within those Tanaim that disagree with Rabbi Shimon, that think that just like a zchus, that think that a zchus can be tola, and therefore there's nothing wrong with saying that the Me'amarim is not going to work when there are edim in Medina Siyam. So Masav Rav. So now the Gemara has a second challenge on Rav Sheshes. The Nesoras Shas points out it's got to be Masav Rava, because a Rav, would have been the wrong generation, way too early. So Masav Rava. The following sotos, their minchas haknaos that their husband brings, gets burnt under on the bottom of the mizbeach by the base of Deshen, and is not brought on the mizbeach because it's not ro'i to the mizbeach, and you can't even be poda it and be motzi it l'chulin. It just gets burnt. Ha'omeres tamayani. If a woman was moda to bezin that she was mizana, and therefore the water is not going to be bodik her anymore, v'shabola edim she tamaya, or if edim came and said that she was tamaya, so says the in those cases, the carbon milcha just gets burnt. So, das admeimas. When did these edim come? If they came before they were makadesh the carbon milcha in the kli shares, so why do you have to burn the carbon milcha? It doesn't have kedush saguf yet. Tape chulin, just be poded with money and let it become chulin. Ella the basu de kadosh. It must be that when the Mishnah says that we're going to burn the mincha, it's talking about that edim came after it was written in skadish b'klisharis, where you can't be motzi at lechulin anymore, and you can't bring it on the mizbech because it's only there to be maskir avon and to be mevara that she did an avera, and this woman was moda that she or edim were testified that she had done the avera, so she's beduka v'yomedas. You don't need to do any sort of further investigation. We know everything we need to know. So therefore, you have to burn it. It's already kadosh. It has no utility anymore, because its whole utility was to be able to figure out whether she's innocent or guilty. So you have to burn it, because you can't be poded it once it's already kadosh. And it has no utility, so it can't be hukrav. So, iyam pishlamu mayim bot kunosa. If you're going to say that when there are edim that exist, the mayim would work to be bodikher, alma bas mikdash mikrafi, then it makes sense that at the time that they were makdash this karban, they were doing the right thing. It should have been hukdash. They did everything right, and it just happened to be that they were mevarer the safek before they followed through and brought the whole karban. The chikadosh meikara shaper kadosh. So when they were makdash the karban, it became kadosh. And mishumachim in chasin the surface. So now you have no choice but to burn it. Eli'i amrit. But if you're going to say ena mayim bot kunvasa, that as long as there are edim anywhere on the planet that are aware that she was tamei, the water is not going to be bodikur. So tigulim milsad mafreidchi kadosh meikara b'taos kadosh. Wasn't this a hakdasha b'taos? When they put it in the klisharis, they were unaware that there were edim. Had they been aware that there were edim, they would have known that this whole thing is an exercise in futility, and therefore it's hektish b'taos. V'tebikul chulin hektish b'taos should be able to become chulin. So Gemara has two answers to that challenge. Number one, Amr of Yudim Diskarta Kigon Shazin Sabazara. Maybe when they were makdishit, they were makdishit correctly. She was there were no edim to the tumah because there was no tumah yet. She only became tamei. She only actually was mezana in the azara, the chikadosh meikarosh haprikadosh, and therefore, when they were initially makdish this korban mincha, it was correct to be makdish korban mincha. So it has its full kedusha. It's not a kedusha b'talos. Says Gemara, what? How could she have been mezana in the azara? V'maskar m'sharshi v'lo pirchikuna malavenosa. There were pirchikuna that are guarding her the whole time that she's in the azara. So says Gemara, yeah, and those pirchikuna are young men. So what do you mean? It could be that she was mezana in the azara with those pirchei kuna, whose job it was to make sure that she's not mezana, and she was mezana with them. Or Ravashi Amar Kol, maybe she wasn't mezana with the pirchei kuna. The pirchei kuna were doing their job; they were watching her like hawks. But then she said, "I need to use the bathroom. Are you going to come in with me to the bathroom also?" So he said, "No, we'll be decent human beings. You can have privacy for a moment." And then she went. Then she went off and was mezana when she was supposed to be using the bathroom. What, you think the pirchei kuna are like hanging on to her the whole time? They have to give her a little bit of leeway. A second answer to the kasha of why is the mincha burnt, if after all the whole kedusha of the mincha was a kedusha b'taus. So again, the first answer was, no, the kedusha of the mincha was not b'taus, because at the time that they were makdish the mincha, she had not yet been mezana. Second answer is, really, it's like we said originally, that the edim came that she was nitma at the time of the stira after the kinui. So we said, oh, so then if it was never kadosh b'kli, then let it go into chulin. That if there are edim in siyam, the water is not going to be bodik, so the mincha was not roi liskadosh b'kli shares. So it's chulin the whole time. It was never huktash because it was huktash b'taos. No mitraban gzeres shamiyom motzi b'kli shares l'chol. Meaning enechinami, the whole thing was huktash b'taos at the time that they were makdish this carbon mincha. There were edim that existed somewhere, and the whole thing was, we now know that it was never going to go anywhere, that there was never any, the sota process wasn't going to yield any results, but and therefore, as a hektish b'tos, we should be able to be pulled in and turn the mincha into chulin. But it's a gzeirah mitrabanan, and people are going to say, wait, what just happened? You had a korban mincha in the kli sharis, and now it's chulin? People aren't going to realize that it was a hektish b'tos. So Masav Rav Mari, is that really a concern? That what people are going to say, nitmeis minchas ad shelo kitshu b'kli, if korban mincha became tamei before it was hukdash b'kli, harei kekola menachos v'tipada. It's like any other mincha you have to be, that became tamei before it was hukdash b'kli, and your poda mishakitshu b'kli, if it became tamei after it had kedusha b'kli, harei kekola menachos, it's like any other mincha that became tamei after kedusha b'kli shareis, v'tisarif, and it has to be burnt. Kodem kiddush hakometz, if the kometz became kaddish and klisharis full hispik lakrivo, and you couldn't bring it on the mizbech ad shemesu o ad shemesehi, until either he or she died, harei kol menachos, like any other mincha that has a psul after its kaddish bekli, v'tisarif, and it gets burnt. Karav hakometz below hispik lechol shirayim, if the kometz of that mincha was ready to burn on the mizbech, they just didn't eat the shiarei mincha ad shemesu o ad shemesehi, until someone died, either he or her, harei he kol menachos v'tei. Then the korban mincha gets eaten because the whole korban mincha was only ala safik kippur sveik of alchala. So the mitzvah was done properly. So as long as there was no psul in the gufa mincha, you could eat it. Bo'ula edim shi tameya. If edim came that she was tameya before it was hukraf hakometz minchas and nisrefes, you burn the korban mincha because it was ready hukdash b'kli. You can't be makdish it because we now don't have a safik anymore because edim came. She's not all made to drink the me'amarim anymore. Nimtzuei de zomin. If those edim turn out to be edim zomin, then minchas chulin. Then the mincha becomes chulin. So don't you see over here that when it was, the mincha was huktash b'taus, it goes to chulin without any pidyon? We said if the edim are found to be zomin, oh, so the whole thing, the whole haktash of the mincha was b'taus. So that's it. So it becomes chulin. And I'm not worried. Oh, people are going to say, but it was in a kli. It was this. We're not worried about what people are going to say. So why should we be worried here about what people are going to say? It says my edim zomin kamit, edim zomin kaliyislu. No one's going to say anything when it's a case of edim zomin, because everyone will know that there were edim zomin. Edim zomin is a unique situation that happens. So since it has a call, the whole world's going to know that it was edim zomin. No one's going to wonder how come it was huktash b'kli and now it's chulin. They'll say, yeah, because obviously the whole thing was betos because there's edim zomin. But when it's not a situation of edim zomin, it will be very confusing for people why something that was Sukdash Bekli is now all of a sudden just had become Chulin. Now the Gemara brings a Raya to Rav Sheshes from a Braisa. Again, to Rav Sheshes' din, but that Rav Sheshes had the wrong Pasuk. Tanya Kavase to Rav Sheshes. We have a Braisa that supports Rav Sheshes, that as long as there are Edom anywhere on planet Earth that are aware of this woman's Tuma, the Mayim does not work. But V'lav Mitameh, not from the Pasuk Rav Sheshes quoted. Rav Sheshes quoted the Pasuk of the Eid Ein Ba. This Braisa quotes the Pasuk of Vimlo Nitme Isha Utahorihi Viniksav Nizrazera. So Tahora is an extra word. It could have just said Vimlo Nitme Isha Viniksa, that if she wasn't Tame, so good, so she's going to be vindicated and she'll have all sorts of wonderful blessings. Why does it say Tahora? Velo Shiyisha Edim Bimdinsiyam. Ah, Dafka to tell me that she doesn't have Edim Bimdinsiyam. Only then is the Mayim going to work. But if she has Edim Bimdinsiyam, the Mayim will not work. Utahora, the extra vav tells me veloshatalsalazchus, and the mayim also won't necessarily work if she has a zchus to prevent the pranas from happening. He, when it says utahora, he means veloshayisuviyitnuba muzaros bilavana, that it's that all the women aren't talking about her terrible reputation. So, but the bottom line is that you see that if they're edim in Medina Siam that she was nitma, the mayim is not going to be bodik. Rabbi Shimon nihi the vav lo darish, and Rabbi Shimon, I understand, he doesn't darshan the vav of the word utahora, where we darshan that zuchus is tole, and that's where Rabbi Shimon thinks zuchus is not tole. But because Rabbi Shimon was one that said if zuchus is tole, then it's going to ruin the whole thing. No one's going to be afraid to drink, etc. So, but vayika. Yesh le'edim b'medina siyam. What does Rabbi Shimon? Doesn't Rabbi Shimon have to admit to the drush of Yesh le'edim b'medina siyam that know that she's mezana, that the Bryce is able to learn from a pasuk? So shouldn't we be choshesh again that they're going to be multi laz on all the Torah women and say, oh, there must have been edim b'medina siyam. She must really be guilty. No, lo shchicha. No one's going to assume that because that's a very uncommon thing to happen. It's very common for women to have zechuyos. It's not super common for women to have edim b'medina siyam. So no one is going to be told of the fact that she seem to have been vindicated in Eidim, in Siyam. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up the Mishnah and Zayin and Manal. Have a great day, everyone.